Everybody, howdy. This is the Read About It Friday Popcast. I'm Reed, and this is About It. And it has been a while since the last Popcast. We had some technical difficulties, as we are wont to do. But finally, everything's back in place here. And today, let's start off with the thing everybody's thinking about. I mean, our great Tuesday night tragedy. I mean, that's the only word I can use to think of it. The tragedy aspect. Just friggin' stupid. I mean, really, what was going on? Our minds, what was going on there? Why didn't my DVR record The Shield? I mean, what the hell? That's why I have one. But no, it didn't record The Shield. Like, 4 episodes left and it craps out on me. So, luckily, yeah, I'll pick up one of the 31 reruns of their good programming that FX does. Now, let's talk a little politics. And as I've said before, I don't really do political humor. You want political humor? Watch Lewis Black. Go to Will Durst's website. He's one of my heroes growing up. He's a great political guy. I don't do politics because I have my own political views. And as I wrote earlier this week, if you need me to tell you what to do, you shouldn't be voting in the first place. And political comedians, I don't know. It's just not my thing. Because I think when you start injecting your own spin on the things, you become in danger of being Dennis Miller. And good Lord, there's nothing worse than Dennis Miller. Again, one of my heroes growing up. I mean, if you ever heard my stand-up, it was heavily influenced by Miller. But somewhere along the way, he just gave up. And he decided to just pander to one side of the fence and not the other. And when you do that, then a comedian has to be able to hit to all fields, to use a baseball reference here. And it's just sad. Just sad. That's what it is. So I stay away from the political stuff. I try to maintain my objectivity. And remember, it's easy because I truly do hate almost everyone. So Tuesday night, I did sit around and I watched an awful lot of election coverage. And I bounced around from place to place. CNN, I was amused by because CNN appeared to be completely unready to do national broadcasts. I mean, it was like a run-through show for them. They'd go to somebody and their mic wouldn't be on. They went to one reporter at the Obama rally, and she was in the crowd, and she was about 3 inches away from a couple hundred people with a stick microphone, holding it there in front of her face, and she starts to talk, and they just lost their mind and started screaming, and you couldn't hear anything. It was just and nothing. And it was funny. They had to go away from her. They got her one of those... those McDonald's drive-through Garth Brooks live on stage in the 90s microphones. It comes out of your ear and sticks right up against your face. And so they were able to go back to her at some point or another. But the virtual interviews didn't. I was completely unimpressed by all of that. That's kind of a Star Trek thing, and I'm much more of a Star Wars guy. Over on Fox was kind of amusing, just in a train wreck, grease fire kind of way. But Fox News, I saw this at one point, and this is while the election is still very much in doubt. Every state is almost in play. It was like 70 to 30 in terms of electoral votes at this time. They've got their guy out there, and he's talking about the election and the seats and the House, blah, 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 and he's got the virtual set there in front of him. He's pointing at stuff, and they go back to Britt Hume, and Britt Hume at the desk, and Britt Hume was ABC before he was at Fox, and he's been in the business forever, and he had no idea what was going on. He just stops covering the election and is asking the reporter what he's doing over there with the green screen. And he's like, "So when you're seeing that, you're not actually seeing that, are you? You're looking somewhere else for it because there's nothing in front of you, right?" Yeah, Brett, that's right. So we can actually see that better than you can see it, then. That's what you're telling us? Yeah, like 2 minutes of this. He sounded just like every old person that we've given a studio tour at one of the TV stations I've worked at. I mean, they just stand in front of the weather wall and can't fathom what's going on. Except Brett Hume has been in the business for like 40 or 50 years. So it seemed like Fox was ready to concede the whole thing and go home at about 7:30 in this one. But a lot going on. At the end of this, when it was over, and it was over fairly early, and... a couple of things. John McCain, I still think, deserves better than he wound up with from his own party, if from nothing else. I think he had to play the good soldier and come out and do his bit. He was sent out there to fight and lose, and he did it. And I still think John McCain would make one hell of a either a boxing commissioner or the commissioner of Major League Baseball. You know, talk about bringing respectability back. He could do it because I still like him. The last campaign speech where he talked about, he had to talk about Sarah Palin. And you can tell from the stuff that's coming out now how she didn't know that Africa was a continent and not a country, and she can't name the continents in North America, and she can't believe it's not butter, and whatever else is said about her. You kind of see the cracks in the armor. But one of his last speeches, I was watching it, and he had to talk about Sarah Palin and how great she was, and he had to talk about her husband. And I think he was in Colorado, but he was talking about Todd Palin being a snowmobile racer, which is funny enough right there. If I stop and walk away from the microphone right now, that's funny enough. But he was talking about him being a snowmobile racer and about this 2,500-mile snowmobile race that he was in and how he broke his arm in that. And he had to keep going. And he won that race, my friends. He won that race, and he didn't let anything stop him. You know, and I appreciate him trying to make the giant metaphor, but I'm sitting there, I'm looking at McCain, and I'm thinking, McCain, you were in a friggin' tiger cage for years. You weren't in a snowmobile. You didn't have endorsements. You weren't even dressed to be in the tiger cage like Todd Palin was for the snowmobile thing. At no point in when you were being tortured did you reach the end of the snowmobile race and get to get up and leave your jail cell. Why are you shilling for that man? Why is it not the other way around? If I were the Democrats right now, I would try to trade for John McCain. I would offer them Lieberman and like three senators to be named later. I have that much respect for the man. At the end of the night, I wanted a statement to be made. With so many people gathering, waiting for Barack Obama to come out, I just wanted him to come out with like the big sunglasses on and the shirt partially open and a big title belt over his shoulder, looking like The Rock from 1997, and just come out and, you know, if we smell what Barack is cooking, and just do that kind of thing, because you got to start big, I think. And really, to me, the funniest thing about all of this was right about 9:30 or so Central Standard Time, watching the Facebook statuses of some of my friends change. Oh, they were down that night, my friends. They just let things roll up on them. They were giving up on the country and God and democracy and everything. And I was gonna try to talk to some of them, and I just thought, why bother? That's the kind of thing you got to get out of your system, and I hope they do. But it was funny as hell while it lasted, I'll be honest with you. Because, you know, as a nihilist, I get a little excited sometimes, and then something always brings me right back to earth. The thing that I think, at least until he takes over officially, the thing that is the best about this is that it brings racism front and center. And in East Texas, where I live, we've already had a couple of instances of just flat-out stupid racism, like racial slurs in people's backyards and in schools, like spray-painted on schools. You know, our secret shame is now edging closer and closer to the forefront. And you know what? I think that's great. I think if you feel that way, you should have to make those feelings known. Because generally speaking, and I am a white guy, generally speaking, every white person that I know who believes in the whole Aryan thing, you know, the most racist people I know are the worst examples of their own race. I mean, you know, it's not a guy that looks like Brad Pitt who's talking about whites being the master race. That's not it. It's never anything like that. It's always some guy that looks like, you know, Larry the Cable Guy's stunt double who's talking about how other races aren't good. And when those guys talk, when they come out and speak and they publicly do that, they lose attention. They lose votes. They make people laugh. So I think it's great. I think we got to hit these people where it hurts. I mean, I think we got to hit them right at their pod dispersal sites. I think we just got to stamp that out. We've got, you know, a month or so to do that before the January inauguration. I think that should be the first 100 days of the country. I don't care what the administration does. Literally, I really don't care. But I think as a country, we got to get past that. So that's as close to politics as I possibly can do. So let's just walk away from that. And come back next week with more pop culture. Very glad to have 30 Rock back. I could do nothing but watch The Office for the rest of my life. And I'm also enjoying life on Mars. So there you go. I got that's enough. That's all I got for you here on Pop Culture Friday. That'll be it. Be back next Friday with more. Thank you for indulging me. Thank all of you who voted for whoever you voted for. It was a historic night in America. And you know what? We don't have those anymore. And even a dedicated cynic like me had to go, man, suddenly people care on both sides. And it was certainly fun to watch. That is it for the Friday Read About It podcast. Be back next Friday with more. Thank you very much for indulging me. And until then, as always, Seacrest out.